Hey everyone, happy Easter. Welcome to New Hope Church. I'm Rusty Corum, senior pastor here. One of our traditions every Easter is that we do a candy toss. We find out what are some of the more popular Easter candies, and as a way of celebrating, we'll throw a bunch of them out during the different services. Last year was different. We had expected that back in March that the COVID crisis would be severe, but it would be short-lived, and then we'd be back meeting Easter, and ended up it didn't happen, so we were completely virtual last Easter. But we didn't want to give up on the Easter candy toss, so we did it, slightly smaller, because it was me throwing candy to my wife Becky in our yard, my daughter Sarah filming it. So I just thought you might enjoy this. Let's go back and see what the candy toss was like last year.
So this is our new way of celebrating our Easter candy. Usually I throw it into the balcony. Now I'm going to be throwing it down into the yard to my lovely spouse, Becky.
To or at?
Here we go. Peeps, almost. Almost. Oh, almost. Let's see.
Hit her.
Let me see. Try these. These are a little heavier.
Get her.
Oh, come on, quick. Try this. Try this.
Come on, no.
I got one more.
You're terrible.
In honor of the current circumstances.
Woo!
I don't know if you caught it, but the very last thing I threw was a roll of toilet paper. Remember, we had toilet paper shortages then. You know, at the time we were thinking, well, it's really bad that the virus has been this devastating, but surely things will calm down, and by the end of summer 2020, or no later than the fall, things will be back to normal. And they're not back to normal yet. Recently, I've had a chance to think about this. Let me just say thank you to many of you that have shown support and prayer and kindness to me and my family. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and I had surgery 2.5 weeks ago, and it's been successful. I've been in recovery mode for this. And during this time, I've had a lot of time to be quiet, to think, to pray, and to reflect. Things that, especially the reflecting part, is not a strength for me, but I've been limited in what I'm able to do physically until I'm back on in what the doctor would say is full recovery. And I've been thinking a lot about this, looking forward to Easter, but also thinking a lot about what these last 12 months have been like. There have been some serious lows. There have been some highs too. This is just a broad stroke. I'm not covering everything. But, you know, in 2020, the United States had the most deaths in U.S. history. 3.3 million people died last year. And the third leading cause of death was COVID-19. To date, we've had, since it started, 550,000 plus that have died from this deadly virus. You know, and in the midst of this horror, we've seen, you know, just pictures of great sacrifice and serving. We've seen the medical community. We've seen first responders. We've seen people that are on the front lines, service workers and others that have just gone out of their way to help, support, to care for others. It's been remarkable that in the darkest time, you've seen some of the brightest lights. There have been huge disruptions to work. Some people have loved it. Some have hated it. Traffic has been easier, but that's because people are not traveling as much, obviously, and there are also people that have lost their jobs. School has been very different, and in many cases, I think this is seen as a lost year. Although you have private schools that have done really well and enrollments are up. Again, you can see pluses and minuses in all this. We've seen racial turmoil that has just boiled over, and it continues for Blacks, for Asians, immigrants. We've seen this, just it's not that it's new, it's just that there's been added pressure to it. There's been all kind of political upheaval. There always is during crises, but you know, in with the vaccine, we've seen things that were said that shouldn't have been, and things that were said that were helpful. We've seen this rush to get vaccines in record time and vaccines that are effective. We have three of them on the market right now, but we've seen difficulty in getting them distributed. We've seen people that fought against masks and people that just can't believe that people wouldn't wear masks all the time. We've seen people calling the whole virus a hoax, and others that are just scared to death of it. We even saw a riot in our Capitol for the first time. We've had natural disasters. We've seen families separated that couldn't be with loved ones. We've seen funerals where virtually no one could attend. There've been tension in our homes, yet there's been closeness with families because they were forced to be together. There's just been a lot that's gone on. Needless to say, all lives have been disrupted. And within that, there has been a kind of a smoldering and an outburst of anger and fear, frustration, distrust, apathy, as well as hopes for better days. We see this regularly. In fact, many of us were real excited about baseball season starting and having an opening day where you can finally have some fans in seats, and ends up the Nats had to cancel their opening day in prime time because of positive tests for COVID. We've got work to do. So why am I reviewing all this? This is Easter, we should be celebrating. The reason is because there is a real need in my life and yours, in the world in general, for hope. And not just hope, but well-placed, real hope. You know, we don't need a lot of reminders, but we have been reminded that this is a broken world and lives are fragile. And I think what's happened is historically we have access to more information, so we may be more aware of it, but it's not any different than it's ever been. And we need hope. God created us to be people that thrive in hope, but we need to make sure our hope is placed wisely and carefully. Otherwise, we set ourselves up for a fall. And I am personally convinced, never more so than I am right now, that the absolute best, most trustworthy place to put our hope is in one person, and that is Jesus Christ, the one who came as the Savior of the world. Matthew 12:21 tells us this, and it says, his name being Jesus, will be the hope of all the world. Jesus is not just the hope for those who understand and have accepted him. He is for them, but it's much bigger than that. He is God's offer of hope to everyone in the world. It's not automatic. You must come to a point of understanding his message and accepting him, but everyone that does, and everyone's invited to, can access this hope. All backgrounds, all nationalities, all skin tones and languages, all social standing, all economic levels, everyone is invited. And this hope, God sent Jesus for every one of us. He didn't just come in a vacuum either. You know, when you go back and look through the Bible, you'll see in the Old Testament, and you can easily see that it was written hundreds and hundreds of years prior to Jesus coming, that God described the plan that he explained who this Messiah was and why he was coming. He gave many details about his life, that he would suffer, that he would die, and that he came to give his life as a ransom for us. The problem is people didn't expect it. When you read about Jesus' life, you'll see that people just didn't recognize who he was. And the reason is he came poor and humble, and people wanted someone to come with pageantry and power. They didn't think that he would have to suffer and die. They were, in a sense, they were kind of creating this image of the Messiah in their own design. They didn't think that he would die. They thought he would persecute their enemies and give them the best seats in the house. They misunderstood what God came to do and how he came to do it. Only after his death on the cross and resurrection did it begin to dawn on them and they understand who Jesus really, really was and is. John 1, this is written by one of Jesus' closest friends, one of his disciples. It says, the word meaning God himself, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to read this one more time. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus existed from all time, and he came in this special way in time and history to do this job for us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, the one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came and took on human form, flesh and blood like you and I have, so he could rescue us and do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And it says here, he was full of grace and truth. He lived a life like you and I do, without all the privileges and perks that he could have had. And he lived in this beautiful but this broken world. And he lived a life that was an open book. No hidden alliances, no secrets, no flaws, no special privileges for himself or his family or his benefactors. He treated everyone equally with truth and grace. And he lived up to the standard he preached. The proof of this is quite remarkable in that all of his disciples ended up dying, all but one, and that was actually John here. All of them died because they would not recant. They would not discredit Jesus. They knew who he was. They knew how he lived, and they knew that he died and was resurrected, and they understood that he really is God who has come in the flesh. And, you know, we're so used to people that are really great at supporting whoever it is they're supporting until their life's on the line, and then they'll write a tell-all book, and they'll squeal on them, and they'll do whatever. Jesus didn't have anything to squeal on. Jesus was the real deal. Full of grace and truth. He told the truth, and he told the truth not in a condemning or judgmental way, which he could have if he wanted to, he's God, but he did it to help us. And here's the thing, is truth, real truth, is my friend and yours. It doesn't always feel good, but the truth is really, really important. Here's a simple example. A while back, I went and had a biopsy done. And my doctor came to me and he said, Rusty, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have prostate cancer. And I was stunned. I had no symptoms. There was nothing that indicated to me that I was sick. I thought I was very healthy. But the doctor said, look, this is what the slides are saying. This is what the biopsy is saying. He said, but listen, I want you to get a second opinion. I want you to go to the best place I know of, and that's Johns Hopkins. He said, he wasn't the least bit defensive about me going. In fact, he insisted that I go because if his diagnosis is true, it would be confirmed. And if it's true, I need to know that because whether I have symptoms or not, I could die from this. If you and I aren't careful, we can try to avoid truth that we need to hear, or we can pick and choose things that are true but that fit what we want to hear. And we end up misleading ourselves and even worse, misleading others. You know, we like it when we read what Jesus says, when he speaks truth to power that's gone rogue. We really enjoy that. We like it when he puts the big shots that are wrong in their place. And when he speaks about hypocrites or those that are unjust to others. I mean, it's easy to go there, but you know, we need to be careful. Jesus did that. But he also spoke the truth to those that didn't have power or prestige, people that weren't name brand people. Because he saw that all of us are broken. He saw that all of us have pride and selfishness. All of us have prejudice within us. And he sees that and he wants to tell us the truth. And while it's so easy to point to the faults that others have and be glad that God's going to get them, we need to stop and say, you know what? I need help too. I'm sinful too, and I'm broken, and the truth comes back to me and tells me that I'm wrong. You know, none of us get to say, not legitimately, that Jesus is on my side. What we can say, what can be true, if we humbly accept him and understand his grace and truth, is that we can say that he's invited us and that we are now on his side. The moment I start trying to co-opt Jesus and get him to be on my side, I run the risk of taking on my own agenda and trying to get him to fulfill that. He's the one that came. He is the one that is God. And he came and he speaks the truth in love and grace. And he's the one that we need to listen to. He is trustworthy. So this Easter, he's the one we celebrate. He came to save and rescue sinners like you and me. People that are self-righteous. People who want what we want when we want it the way we want it. And when we don't get it, we get angry, we get upset. And we begin taking matters in our own hands. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 5. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. I want to read this one more time too. He died for everyone. Everyone on planet Earth, every person has been created in God's image. And unlike anything else in creation, he loves you and me. And he wants a relationship with us. But because of our sin, our self-centeredness, our ego, our pride, our arrogance, we have been separated from God. So Jesus came and took our place so that we could receive this new life that he offers and no longer live self-centeredly or for ourselves. Instead, we'll be able to live for Christ, who died and was raised for us. That's why baptism is so important. It's a picture of what has happened when I've accepted Jesus Christ. My old way of living is gone and dead, and I'm now living a brand new life following Jesus. If you've not been baptized, we have one coming up later this month. We'd love to talk to you about it, but it's just this picture. It's a reminder. It's a celebration that I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. And I have this new life as a gift that was offered to me at great expense. This one who is full of grace and truth came for you and came for me. And he made promises to us. He said, if you'll confess your sin to me, I will forgive you. I will love you. I will be with you no matter what goes on with in your life. I'll give you the strength to handle whatever comes your way. I will give you peace. I will give you hope. And one day when all of history wraps up, you will live with me in the perfection of heaven. Jesus, you know, it's easy to make promises, but Jesus backed his promises up by his death and then his resurrection. No one has credentials like Jesus. People make promises all the time, but no one has spoken like he did, and no one has backed up everything they said like Jesus did. He came for you and me. So I want you to think about where you are right now, and I just want to make a few statements about what Jesus could mean to you if you hear his voice. If you're disillusioned, you've heard a lot of empty promises by people that want your vote or want your money. People that maybe they're very popular, they may be celebrated, but you've gotten to a point where you don't trust anybody. Jesus is trustworthy. Please do not let messengers that have done a poor job keep you from this message that could change your life now and forever. Some of us, quite honestly, are self-satisfied. We're confident in our own ability and we're comfortable. Kind of like me when I went to the doctor and he tells me I have cancer, and I almost couldn't believe it. Jesus tells us the truth, that we need a Savior, that we are sinful, that we are selfish. And he offers us forgiveness. He offers us, again, truth and grace. Some of us are idealists. We're just sure that something's going to make some big changes. Be careful, because you can fall into fads that don't have any substance. Jesus is substantive, and Jesus will never mislead you. Put your idealism, lean into Jesus hard, and watch what he does. Some of us are hungry for justice. Well, remember what he said, that he came, he was full of grace and truth. There will be a time where all rights or all wrongs are righted. When history wraps up, if it doesn't happen between now and then, everything will be made right. Until then, we work hard for justice and to show God's love and his mercy and his kindness and his truth. If you're hungry for justice, there is no better person, no better place to put your life than in Jesus' hands. Some of us are broken and defeated, kind of checked out and given up. Jesus will offer you, he does offer comfort and understanding and strength so you can carry on, so you don't have to quit, you don't have to give up. Again, some of us are very, very fearful, and we've been burned so many times. Hear this, Jesus will never take advantage of you. He will never use your trust for his own desires. He always has your best interests at heart. You can count on that. And then finally, there are some that are skeptics and cynics and unbelievers. You hear what I'm saying, you're saying, well, that I get it. That's just kind of a fairy tale. If it's fine for you, that's fine. I want to say this, that years ago, C.S. Lewis, he wrote The Chronicles of Narnia, a phenomenal thinker. He was an atheist most of his life and became a Christian later in his life. He said there are really only three options when you think about Jesus. When you look at the facts about Jesus, he was either a liar, and a world-class liar, by the way, that he just duped so many people. And the fact that millions and millions have chosen to follow him shows what a great liar he was. He was either a liar of the first magnitude, because you see, you can't say he's a good teacher, because he said he was God. He said he could forgive sin. He made all kind of claims. So if you can't just pick and choose. He was either a liar or he was a lunatic. He really believed all this God stuff, that he really was God, that he was gifted, but crazy. So he's either a liar, he's a lunatic, or this third option, that he is the Lord, the Creator. He's the Savior. He's the one that came to rescue us. Jesus invites you, if you're a cynic or a skeptic or you're an unbeliever, to investigate. His life is an open book. He came at a time where things were recorded in history and where you can read firsthand accounts, where you can look at the evidence yourself. He came in an historical setting that can be thoroughly researched. And I want to urge you to do that. Don't just write it off because it seems odd or it seems strange. The greatest event in all of human history was the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that makes sense if it was the greatest rescue mission ever to come because of God's great love for those created in his image, which is you and me. Easter reminds us just how much God does love us. So much that he sent his son to sacrifice his life in our place so that we could be forgiven and free. And all we have to do is admit our need, believe that he sent Jesus for us, and choose to follow him. That's it. You don't have to have any other pedigree. You don't have to have any other background. It's just a matter of admitting our need, believing that he came for us, and choosing to follow. And that leads to this last verse that I want to read, that I have been clinging to, and over the last several months has become more and more true for me, and that is this. We have this hope about Jesus and why he came, and the fact that his death and his resurrection give us a brand new life potential. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I hope this Easter Those of you that know Jesus will be reminded of this and celebrate it fully. Those that have questions, those that have doubts, that you would be willing to explore. Ask someone to help you. Let us know. You can email us at the church or call. No one's going to try to sell you anything. But this event at Easter that we celebrate, that the whole world celebrates, is rooted in reality and history and in the love of a God that desperately wants a relationship with you and me. Let's pray together. God, thank you for not just wiping your hands and just saying, these people don't get it. The world's too screwed up. I don't want anything to do with it anymore. Instead, you continued with the plan that you told us about in the Bible centuries before it ever happened. You created a setting so that when Jesus came and when he spoke and then when he died and was resurrected, we could look back and see now it makes sense. God, I pray that those of us that know you will rejoice in this and do everything we can to live so that others will be intrigued and to speak in a way that would cause others to understand more this truth and grace that Jesus brings. I pray that you would help us to be people that live a life that shows your presence in our lives and your priorities and your values. That we'll love others the way you do. That we'll draw our guidance from you and not just the culture. I pray that we would live in a way that you would be honored and pleased. And God, for anyone listening that is doubtful or skeptical or has significant questions or concerns, I pray that you would help them to take a step today in a direction of investigating that. God, I thank you that you love us, and not based on our performance, but based on your love and your mercy. We now have brand new lives in Jesus Christ offered to us. For Jesus' death and his resurrection, we are eternally grateful. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's continue our worship now.